Blog Talk Radio.
Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health.
Well, good evening, great evening, and welcome to Root Cause Radio. My name is Bella Marie. It is a pleasure and an honor to have so many of you joining us for our weekly health podcast. Root Cause Radio is sponsored by the American School of Symptometry, and it is the American School of Symptometry is the only authorized teaching and training arm for Root Cause Therapeutics. Symptometry is the originator of Root Cause Therapeutics. This form of healthcare exists to eliminate disease at the cellular, genetic, and DNA levels. Very happy to have been serving people since, I believe, 1992, ladies and gentlemen, and excited that now there is this platform, Root Cause Radio, to support family caregivers and really everyone looking to enjoy optimal health, both on a personal level and see the ones they love experiencing optimal health as well. If this is your first time with us, you're going to want to join us at rootcauseradio.com. You can subscribe at that website. That's where all of our past podcasts are held. That is also where, ladies and gentlemen, you can find out information about upcoming events and even take advantage of the information for our online courses, at the American School of Symptometry. You can learn more about our sponsor and more about those free courses by clicking myasos.org. However, when you go to rootcauseradio.com, you will get a direct link there as well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a couple of exciting things happening this season, this month, for Root Cause Radio, and really in the health world altogether. The month of May is Stroke Awareness Month. It is Natural Sports and Fitness Month. It is also Mental Health Awareness Month. And so we have these resources here available, and this show even serves as one of those resources to continue to support you. We have, in fact, an exciting lineup for the entire month, not just our fitness podcast shows, ladies and gentlemen, but also we also have our delicious cooking recipes and segments, right? Some culinary information, because we do want to eat healthily, but we also would love for the food to taste good, and we really want to thank our team at Symptometry Headquarters that works on that, as well as you, our loyal listeners, who share your resources, with us as well. We are excited to move forward. If you have a question or a comment, we do have a little bit of the show here where it can be interactive, so you're going to want to hit 1. Just go ahead and push the number 1 so that we can see you on the screen. And our guest, for today with Root Cause Radio is having a little bit of technical difficulties hopping on. So we're still going to try and get them on. However, I do have valuable information for you no matter what. So I want to thank you for staying with us. Again, the resources and ways that you can interact with us, as well as really put in special requests in terms of different topics that you want us to cover. On the website, rootcauseradio.com, there is a comment section there, and then you can also, of course, do the same on myasos.org and even symptometry.com. All of our websites are interactive. They are supportive here for you. We have had a few requests with it being National Health and Fitness Month, with the weather being warmer outside, more and more people are looking to get the benefits and incorporate more physical activity. So we're very excited to be having a functional movement specialist on later in this month of May. You have been sending in your questions, and we appreciate them. That might even turn into a two-show series just with all of the response that we've been getting so far. And you also have the benefit, too, of us having the founder of Symptometry himself on, Dr. Maxwell Narte, on with us later this month. And again, you can interact with us and let us know which you would rather hear about, brain tumors and brain health awareness or stroke, okay? So we have those interactive polls, those interactive opportunities happening for you to let us know what you want to hear. But regardless, we're bringing powerful topics to you each and every week. Speaking of mental health awareness, brain health as well, I do want to answer a very popular question that has been sent in. We have actually talked about it previously in previous podcasts, but it is popping up again. We might just do a show dedicated to this topic entirely. But a question that always comes up is in terms of the cooking oils, right, and the healthy cooking oils, what is requested most from people, what we get most of the inquiries about are, of course, you know, the canola oil versus olive oil question. And there are quite a few oils out there for us to use, right, the different options and choices that we have. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to go straight to the source, straight from the source here. And for those of you who are in the American School of Symptometry, interested in it, or taking the online courses, there is a book, The Cradle of Truth, that you can order and access once you're part of that online program and course. And so if you have that book or that copy or access to it, you can just double check the information in there now. But for those of you who've heard us cover this topic before, you know that the recommended cooking oil from Symptometry is canola oil, right? And I'm just going to go a little bit more in depth in terms of why that is. This way, if you're having the conversation with a friend or family member, you know, who's exploring this topic with you, you have a little bit more knowledge, a little bit more ground on the science that Symptometry is using to make that recommendation, okay? So canola oil is the most balanced oil because it actually has 7% of saturated fat and 7% of omega-3. It is important to note that, unfortunately, olive oil, while highly recommended, is not a high source of omega-3 at all. Omega-3 is alpha-linolenic acid, right? And with a lower percentage of saturated fat, that actually gives your body more access to the omega-3. Okay, and this is important because omega-3 contains the sulfur allotrope that the endothelium of our blood vessels, that outer layer of our blood vessels, uses to produce a substance called antithrombin, okay, and that is what dissolves clots, okay, and this actually, the omega-3 also helps us create and have enough nitrous oxide to circulate our blood. And why is this important? Because, of course, our blood is what delivers oxygen and nutrients, raw materials to our cells, and also gets rid of the quote-unquote garbage, right, from those cellular processes. So there was a previous testimony even of a new mom who used canola oil on her baby. Her daughter had developed a diaper rash, and the diaper rash was literally gone after one application. And she called in excited to share this with us because she said, normally with the creams I buy from the store, I'm using it several times, and it's you know, and it takes closer to 2 days for it to go. So that was her personal experience. I know for myself, and using home-based oils, like home-based oils and body lotions, a lot of times if you get a recipe from the internet and it calls for olive oil or even coconut oil, I have replaced that with canola oil, and I noticed that my skin stays softer and moisturized longer, to the point where I am not needing to apply lotion every day. So it has many more benefits and applications just beside cooking, right, just besides the cooking. And so that is really something else that you would want to keep in mind, or have that knowledge for yourself as well. So you have that there. If you would like this information to be maybe one of our e-courses online or another interactive way, you can go ahead and make a mention in the chat. If you're listening to us online, right, via the Blog Talk Radio interactive chat platform. And you can also, of course, leave us a comment or send us an email at our website, rootcauseradio.com. We absolutely love and enjoy getting your questions so that we can respond to them and support you. And we could even have a Q&A show, a question and answer show, if you will. Some of the resources, just so you know, someone mentioned in the chat, I know Cradle of Truth is only for students at the school. What books can I access today? Super excited that you asked that question. Looks like Cindy of Ohio, because there are quite a few books already on Amazon.com and available to you for immediate access. The Downside of Nutrition is the book that... it's really the flagship book of symptometry. In that book, Dr. Narte breaks down the scientific research that's been done, really that he spearheaded in terms of researching the different, quote-unquote, healthy foods. It goes through what the health disruptors are in those, the nutrients that your body cannot break down completely and therefore lay the groundwork for disease, right? It identifies the foods with those, and it also highlights which health symptoms that you would be experiencing if you were vulnerable, right, to that condition, or if you were already susceptible to it. I love this book because the body is always communicating with us, and it gives us clues, hints, and codes about what it needs, what it's going on, what challenges are, long before we ever have a diagnosable disease. So I keep a copy of The Downside of Nutrition Part 1, actually, and there are several editions. When you buy it online, you want to make sure you're buying the one with the white book cover. It's white and orange. That's a third edition. All of the books have All editions have great information, of course, but the third edition is the most current, so that's the one you would want to have, and it gives you great resources in there. It also has the enzyme chart in which symptometry is highlighted, Dr. Narte has highlighted the different foods, the healthy snacks, etc., in terms of what takes the most enzymes, what takes the most work for your body to break down. For example, I did not know that when you have that glass of wine with dinner or that Friday night cocktail, that it is basically taking your body the number of enzymes it would use for that one drink. It costs your body the same amount of enzymes that it would use to break down two full meals, right? So, sure, wine has antioxidants in it and whatnot, but it's still costing our body the same number of enzymes it would take to break down two full meals. So we're putting at ourselves at a, you know, at a health disadvantage that way in terms of the limited resources that our body has available. There's also lots of information in there about tips and other things that you can use to make informed decisions, even if you don't have a symptometrist available, right? Anything red, anything naturally red, be it tomatoes, strawberries, cherries, anything naturally red, by nature, has red phosphorus in it. Red phosphorus acts in the human body as a catalyst and an accelerant for tumor growth. So if you've already had experience with cysts and benign tumors, or if fibroids run in your family, or any kind of disease like that, then you know, genetically speaking, that even if you don't already have personal experience with tumors and cysts, you are genetically vulnerable to that condition. So if you are eating a lot of foods that are naturally red and beverages that have red food coloring, red coloring in them, you are activating, if you will, accidentally activating, but still activating the gene for tumor growth in yourself. And that's the kind of information that you're just not going to get in your normal internet search. So that's a great resource to have. The Downside of Nutrition, What to Consume, is another phenomenal resource to have if you're just looking for foods and things to have for grocery shopping, for your resources. And then we also have Delicious Cooking, which is another great resource by Symptometry, The Path to Optimal Women's Health. You can just go on Amazon, search, you know, Dr. Maxwell Narte, and all the books will come up. I am going to try and patch us in now with our guest for today. I enjoyed answering your questions. We have Dr. Charlie Abbott, also known as Dr. Ansel L., of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, sharing information with us tonight. He's a doctor of Asian medicine, longtime advocate of optimal health and root cause therapeutics. He even once served as the director of administration at the American School of Symptometry, which is, of course, where we are creating the next generation of therapeutic scientists specializing in curing disease at the cellular, genetic, and DNA levels. Ladies and gentlemen, please hold on. Please stand by as we try to reconnect with our guest. Cause Therapeutics to his repertoire and serves in that Winston-Salem area in North Carolina. Good evening and welcome back to Root Cause Radio, Dr. Charlie Abbott. How are you, sir?
Oh, well, I'm fine today, Bella Marie, and I'm so glad to be back here with you on Root Cause Radio. Tell you, it's a really exciting topic, and I'm grateful to be here.
Yes, thank you. We're grateful to have you. You know, those statistics about mental health, it's really surprising. One in four adults are affected at any given time by a diagnosable mental health condition, right? So not just being in a bad mood,
right,
or having a bad day, but, you know, they could actually be diagnosed. If they were stopped in the street and doing random testing, they could actually be diagnosed with a mental health disorder. So that means that this information could help our people in our family. It could help our coworkers. It could help our Facebook friends who we only talk to when we're wishing them happy birthday. So this is a real topic that affects quite a few people, and we appreciate you for joining us tonight. Let's dive right in, Dr. Abbott. When it comes to the cause of mental illness, what does symptometry have to say about that? Is there one particular factor that leads to poor mental health? What would you say?
Well, you know, as you know, Bella Marie, this is a major topic, and it is an important topic because, as you mentioned earlier, I mean, all you have to do is walk down the street and you'll see many different aspects of behavior that exhibit mental illness. And, you know, here in symptometry, we always look at the root cause of diseases, But in the form of mental illness, we have to look at the cause of it, because the cause can be internal or it can be external. It can be biological, it can be neurological, it can be environmental. This is how mental illness happens, because, you know, that's what the research tells us, of course. And then, you know, say, for instance, we look at sporting events all the time, hockey, football, soccer, baseball, and there have been many athletes, not just at the professional level, but even down to the little peewee leagues, that either were hit by a bat, or they were, you know, took a football tackle, or hit with a hockey puck, or pushed into the glass or the wall, and they had trauma to their head, and or if they fell off a bicycle, and the person would then go through a situation just as someone who hurt their back or shoulder or came down with a common cold. There's definitely a factor, and in symptometry, we always look at it first and foremost is what brought this situation to the forefront. You know, was the person involved in an altercation? Was it involved in an accident? What were they doing? Were they consuming illegal drugs? Or were they taking some medications? There are people who have anxiety attacks who they're given certain pharmaceutical drugs because they have anxiety. But why are they not receiving the help that they need? It's because they have cell impoverishment. Their brains are impoverished. So the way that we look at it in symptometry is that there is something, of course, we always talk about a blockage, but there's also trauma as well. So there are biological factors, external factors, and, of course, environmental factors.
Thanks so much, Dr. Abbott. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because in the general information, right, what we're able to find by using our favorite search engine, you know, we do see the pattern emerging there in terms of mental health challenges tending to run in families, So sometimes they assign it as being genetic. But one of the things you just mentioned there, in fact, really kind of explains why it's genetic, right? Because if there, what would be genetic or passed on, if you would either be the neurotransmitter shortages or the blockages. Especially if environmentally or culturally the children are eating the same food and living the same lifestyle as the parents, which is typically what happens, right? And so those sorts of factors combine in addition to the stressors of life, and whatever coping skills the person has learned or hasn't learned would thereby multiply all of that. So it really is a cocktail. And so in successfully addressing mental illness, the therapy that the person chooses would also need to address all of those factors. And of course, to date, root cause therapeutics through symptometry is the only way we have of effectively removing the blockages at the cellular level. So very excited to have you on. Let's talk about some of the environmental factors. You mentioned some of the foods people consume can aggravate that, and one of the things that keeps coming up is the role of sugar, and sugar being quote-unquote bad for our brain, but what we've learned through symptometry is that there are simple sugars, right, which are essentially good sugars, what our body uses to make our DNA and break down to glucose to give energy and all of that. And then there are also the strong sugars that really handicap us, and those are what we typically find in soda and candy, even baked goods and so forth. So how does the consumption of the strong sugars in candy, ice cream, and other treats affect a person's mental health, especially in the case of young children, because candy is every child's favorite thing? Dr. Abbott?
Oh, I know, and that's, you know, we reward children with that. But not only that, I mean, we have to even look at the ones that are even stronger, like the saccharins and the high fructose corn syrups, that are in there, many of the artificial sweeteners that are out on the market. But, you know, in the human body, less is more, and we do need a small amount of sugar. So we actually are made from, we need sugar, the ribose, the R-I-B-O-S, that is a five-carbon simple sugar that's important. That is the backbone of to creating us, you know, our correct amount, our DNA, to stabilize the DNA that will, you know, help us to produce the things that we need to feel good, the serotonin, the GABA, and the acetylcholine. And without that, you know, RNA would not be able to release the messenger RNA and so on and so forth. But the a person can suffer from sugar toxicity. And this right here, when we have sugar toxicity, as you're talking with, about, you mentioned earlier, as far as children or concerns or adults, because many adults have their sugar addictions because they start out as children, and that's just something that we just keep having year after year after year. But it actually, with sugar toxicity, it leaves too much unprocessed sugar in the blood, and it becomes an irritant, but also becomes a growth factor for worms, for viruses, especially like the herpes virus, and it can create all types of problems for a person. I remember once I was in a national chain, and there was this woman with her son, and he was just screaming, and I walked up to her, and I had that. She couldn't really do much with him. I asked her, had he eaten chocolate? And she said no. And I just walked away, and about 30 seconds later, she came up behind me, and she mentioned, she said, oh, yeah, we had chocolate last night, chocolate ice cream, milkshakes, and all of that. But that was the phosphorus in there. And some of these salts are very unstable. And especially for a young child, it can be very, very irritating. So the effects of strong sugars affects the nerves, and the nerves are the foundation of the human body because they relay the messages. And we want to help a person to produce those neurotransmitters, those chemical reactions in the brains that will help a person to communicate, to keep them calm, to keep them in a great mood. But when a person it has gone through certain things, or if they've consumed certain things like strong sugars that will make their blood either too acidic, or with chocolate too alkaline, it creates an environment in the body, and then that causes the nerves not to be able to transmit the information. And then with that, when that happens, you know, there's the formation of plaque and concretions, and then the individual is in a process where they are not able to function right and process the information. And many times in the school systems, it is the diets that the children are consuming that is keeping them unfocused, agitated, and fidgety. And only if their parents or their caregivers knew, or if the school system in general knew about scientific eating, we would then have a much better learning environment, and children would be much calmer. Because they've done studies over and over again in the prison systems and in even some school systems that the children were unable to They actually did better by just changing their diet. And when we look at the prison population and we look at how many of them became incarcerated, and if we look at their diets, many of them were consuming strong sugars, and of which wine, beer, and alcohol is high in strong sugars. So we have to always maintain a focus on the things that keep us well and that will help our generations to be healthier one after another. Thank you.
Yes, sir, and thank you so much. And so in your first response, you mentioned how even substance abuse or excessive substance use could aggravate mental or emotional disturbances. But just now we have learned that the foods we love, the strong sugars, which are so common in just about everything we consume, especially if it's a store-bought product, would actually be doing quite a bit of harm as well, and this can affect all of us from any age. So we're all vulnerable consuming the strong sugars. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct, yes. I mean, grown-ups, older folks, yes, absolutely. I mean, because then we have to deal with other onsets of diseases as well with the consumption of strong sugars that affect the liver, the pancreas, your adrenal glands, and so on and so forth.
Okay, awesome, and thanks so much. Let's stay on diet here for a moment, because it's widely believed that if one eats a lot of the food sources of omega-3 fatty acids and whole grains, leafy greens, lean protein, even yogurt with active cultures, this would boost the individual's mental health. So symptometry talks a lot about eating scientifically. We don't just talk about it. There's also the books, The Downside of Nutrition, What to Consume, you know, self-help resources published by Dr. Narte. But let's say someone doesn't have those books already, Dr. Abbott. Could you answer for us, do these five foods that people commonly lean on for mental health actually improve mental health? And again, those are foods rich in omega-3 fatty acids, whole grains, leafy grains, lean protein, and yogurt with active cultures. Dr. Abbott, why or why not do these foods help?
Yes, I'd say this is a hit or miss list that you mentioned. the omega-3 fatty acids, they can be very beneficial for the nerves, you know, in your canola oil. We in symptometry, we do recommend canola oil. And so that can be very effective for nerve and also brain health, because anytime the brain is affected in you know, obviously in mental illness, there's definitely issues in the cranial nerve and some of the other nerves within the brain, so we think that's great. Some fish oils are effective with that as well, so I agree with that one. And the next one, I believe you said, was it whole grains? You know.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that is not something that we do recommend in symptometry because of the heavy metal factor. The whole grains, the outside, this is insoluble fiber, and we've said many times before that the human body is only consists of 26 elements, and some of the whole grains create more problems than they produce. They can be partly beneficial, but then the metals that are associated with them can cause other problems, allergies, problems with the eyes, digestive issues, other things like that, because of like cadmium, bismuth, and so on, that the whole grain. So we do recommend grains, but we recommend the endosperm instead of the ectosperm. As far as leafy green vegetables, that's another one that we have to examine, because the folic acid is excellent that we get from them, and some of the magnesiums and other vitamins and minerals. But if we take something like spinach that has oxalic acids in it, that can affect the person's nerve pathways and the muscles and can cause numbness. So we don't recommend those. That is, you know, spinach or kale, of course, we cholesterol is high in MSG, and we don't recommend that at all. But the turnip greens, the collard greens, the mustard greens, bok choy, those are some that we, or dandelion greens, those can be very effective. So that's a good one. And the other one I believe you asked was, what was the next one?
Yogurt with the active cultures.
Oh, yes, yogurt. Yes, we want to get the proper amount of enteric bacteria, and we do have a Cepto yogurt decoction that we recommend to help produce the proper amount of enteric bacteria for our intestines. And that is very good because, you know, the intestines have so much to do with absorption and the nutrients that come in our small intestines and our large intestines. Excellent. And last one is the lean proteins. Of course, we recommend the bison, the lamb, the goat, great, good fish, the ones that we do, not necessarily fish that are high in potassium, but the lamb, the goat, the bison, and ostrich, and the trim cut free-range grass-fed beef, and, of course, chicken, free-range chicken, or turkeys. So they have it fairly put together. It needs to be more specific so that a person will know how to streamline what they have and then eat for their condition. But overall, it's a good place to start. But symptometry, we're going to streamline it and to hit the target on the foods that will give the person that they need, the things that have phenylalanine in it, like the lab and so forth, that will help the person to produce those proper body and brain essentials that will get the communication going within their brain pathways.
Yes, sir, definitely an excellent point. And as we understand, any dietary changes, just like how the foods that we consume could aggravate or make worse some mental health challenges, making the changes, the dietary changes that you just mentioned, would be eating scientifically, right? Eating for proper cell nourishment, as symptometry defines it. But that's only part of the equation. So we've had some great questions sent in through our mobile club, Dr. Abbott. We're going to be back after a quick word from our sponsors and then dive into those questions, specifically how Root Cause Therapeutics can help with mental health in general, and then with some more specific concerns, maybe those who are already on pharmaceutical drugs or psychotropic drugs to assist with their condition, as well as with those battling dementia. So thanks so much for the knowledge you've shared so far, and stay with us because we'll be back with more.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The knowledge that symptometry shares is known around the world, but now we bring the knowledge in the form of food. The Downside of Nutrition, Part 1, was written by Dr. Maxwell Narki in order to expose the hidden dangers of the foods we love. This easy-to-read book is filled with reasons why certain foods should be avoided, as well as a step-by-step food chart that guides you to obtaining optimal health. Be aware of what's on your plate by buying The Downside of Nutrition Part 1 at www.symptometry.com. That's www.symptometry.com.
Every Wednesday, Root Cause Radio teaches us easy ways to reach optimal health. Thanks to its creator, Dr. Maxwell Narti, these healthy lifestyle tips extend to our foods. But have you ever wondered how to turn those lessons into recipes? Well, worry no more. Delicious cooking was made with you in mind, Watch the only food recipes that were tailored for our Root Cause Radio family by going to Root Cause Radio and click on Delicious Cooking. That's www.rootcauseradio.com and click on Delicious Cooking.
And we are back live on Root Cause Radio tonight as we discuss optimal mental health. Our guest is Dr. Charlie Abbott of Symptometry of North Carolina. And so far we've tackled the root cause of mental illness as well as dietary options that would both aggravate any mental health conditions and make us more likely to experience them, as well as some changes we can make in what we pick up at the grocery store and what we put on the table for our meals to help minimize and manage existing mental health conditions, but more importantly, also promote optimal mental health. So, Dr. Abbott, thanks for staying with us for tonight's show. This is a question that we had sent in a couple of different ways, so quite a few people are interested in this. And as we dive into the solutions with root cause therapeutics, the question that keeps coming up is that in many cases it's a combination of psychotherapy treatment and psychiatric drugs that's used to address an individual's mental health. Symptometry has been around since 1992. It does include over 16 years of laboratory research and the combination of over 16 different sciences. However, many people are still now just finding out about symptometry. So the question is, how is symptometry's root cause therapeutics approach to curing mental illness different than allopathic medicine, so basically pharmaceutical drugs, psychiatric drugs, in teaching mental illness? Dr. Abbott, thanks again for being with us tonight, and please help our listeners with this one.
Yes, thank you once again, Bella Marie. Ultimately, in the pharmaceutical industry, their primary focus is to suppress symptoms, which in symptometry we look at as a signal, and that signal is a verification as to that there is a blockage happening somewhere. There's a lack of communication. There's a lack of production of body essentials that the individual is having at that time, that they have some distress in whatever part of their body that is happening. And what we really want to do, especially with someone who is experiencing mental illness, is to make sure that their brain, you know, we want to take several steps, but we want to make sure that their brain is ionized for any blockages. And the ionization is there to remove the heavy metals, the calcium deposits, the phosphorus deposits, the aluminum, you know, the aluminum salts, many of the things that our earth is made of and that end up on our dinner table by just way of what we consume. It's embedded in many of the things that we consume. Also, we have to look at a person's lifestyle. We have to ionize the blockages and the dependencies on the pleasure centers in the brain, and also with even pharmaceutical drugs, because they lay down tracks and they create a dependency. And many people, whether they have difficulty sleeping or they have a level of anxiety, are dependent on these drugs. And many times they start out with a low dose, and then the dose just continues to get higher and higher, and then the person is in a state of confusion and distress, and they're looking for a way out. And so they come to symptometry because they're at their wits' end. And what we do is we ionize those blockages to remove the things that's impeding the communication, that's stopping the proper chemical reactions that the brain needs to be healthy. Then we also ionize the eyes, the rods and cones, so that the person, person may be hallucinating. So we want to make sure that their vision is clear, because the eyes connect to other parts of the body, the liver. as well. So that's an expression there. We want to ionize the ears, the ear canal, because the person may be hearing voices. So it's a much more comprehensive way in which we address mental illness, because the person needs to be able to access all parts of themselves. And in symptometry, we always speak of, you know, being healthy. And the most important thing is the communication that a person has within themselves, and knowing, you know, certain foods in particular that have the fungus Claviceps purpura, which we don't recommend rye bread. And I know rye bread is, in some places, in some cultures, people love it, but it has a history of creating issues with hallucinations and because of this Claviceps. And also a food that's very common here for us is the banana. We recommend eating bananas in symptometry for certain people, but when a banana has brown spots on the inner flesh, that's that fungus Claviceps purpura, and we definitely don't recommend that because it can create issues for a person. So that's why scientific eating, ionization, and developing enzyme surplus is so important in dealing with any of the diseases that we address. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Abbott. And is it fair to say that if someone is experiencing a mental health challenge, whether they identify it themselves or those in their circle notice it and bring it to attention, is it safe to say that there would need to be a community if effect? We at Symptometry, we do have some symptometry health coaches that have gone through the American School of Symptometry and are able to provide that high-level support, especially if the family is not able to or is not yet comfortable with root cause therapeutics and transitioning out of psychotropic drugs, even though they do have documented side effects. Is it safe to say that no matter how a person gets that community and that support system going for their recovery, that it would be an important piece of the recovery as well, in addition to the prescription, in addition to the dietary changes?
Yes, absolutely. And all of our coaches are well schooled in, and they have gone over it and been prepared to understand the equation of health and how important nurturance is in helping a person that's going through that process. And many people who are experiencing mental illness, it's very frustrating for them because they know that there's something that's not quite right that's going on with them. And from those that I've spoken to, many of them seem like they're trapped inside of their body. So the support that our coaches offer, the guidance in scientific eating, is second to none. And the person can also communicate with their families, because once the families get involved, then the person will have so much more support. And that support will spill over. And their friends, their family, they will be able to learn more about their specific condition instead of just saying, okay, this person needs medication, and then, you know, not take consideration of, you know, some of the foods and things that a person could consume that would make their conditions worse. So absolutely, it is so vitally important that we implement, you know, community groups of people to help a person that's processing that challenge or mental health challenge to get better.
Yes, sir, and thank you so much for that. We are coming up on our delicious cooking segment. We're coming up on our delicious cooking segment, and we have one of those well-trained symptometry health coaches that you mentioned earlier who will be sharing with us in just a few minutes, Dr. Abbott. But we did have another question sent in specifically about Alzheimer's, and then after our delicious cooking segment in our closing comments, if you could just touch on the main benefits of root cause therapeutics. Of course, our symptometrists still offer those complimentary health consultations, but just some closing points in a few minutes after our delicious cooking segment. Right now, question we are focusing on is women, dementia, and Alzheimer's. We also had this question sent in several times. It says statistics show that women are more likely to develop Alzheimer's and even general dementia. Why is this? Dr. Abbott, as a woman myself, this does concern me. Go ahead, please. Why is Alzheimer's and dementia more common in women? What does symptometry say?
Well, history tells us, but not people who are following the symptometry program, but there's some things that need to be made up and we need to expedite this process and get this word out. Because there are some people out here that are starving themselves to death. I'm literally fasting and doing things to alleviate problems as far as women are concerned. But women do tend to suffer, unfortunately, more from forgetfulness and amnesia, dementia, and Alzheimer's disease. And that's primarily for two reasons, okay? And women menstruate every month for X amount of years, from the time that they're teenagers until they're mature women, and so that is a moving of blood, and that's through their menstruation, so they're actually losing vital nutrients in the process. And then the second reason is that they use products that have aluminum hydroxide, and they've done studies where they have seen brain aluminum filaments in the brains of people who have deceased, and they found that these people have used the deodorants and makeups and different personal products that had aluminum in it. And all you have to do is just look at the basic deodorant on the shelves in any store, and you will be able to see this ingredient that contains the aluminum hydroxide. But these filaments actually embed into the brain, and they impede the communication, and it starts to block things. And when that happens, water, nutrients and other body brain essentials, then there's the accumulation of plaque, and the person then becomes much more forgetful and things like that, along with anemia, because iron is lost during the menses process, and iron is a mineral that the brain cells use, and it adds it to the B vitamins to help speed up the production of memory essentials. So that is why women tend to suffer more from forgetfulness and Alzheimer's and dementia than men.
Well, perfect, and thank you. And I know that if someone is interested in that information at a deeper level, they have several paths, right? They could access one of our licensed symptometrists. In fact, we have three of them in the world today, including you, Dr. Abbott. They could also take advantage of the Healthy Longevity Program at the American School of Symptometry, or even pick up Dr. Narte's publication, The Path to Optimal Women's Health, which is available on Amazon and dives quite extensively into what you just spoke about now. So thank you for sharing that with us, Dr. Abbott, and we will look forward to really closing up the show, wrapping up the show after tonight's delicious cooking segment, and I will give people your information to contact you and take advantage of that complimentary health consultation as well. Well, as mentioned, yes, sir, you're so welcome. As mentioned, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Our delicious cooking segment is really where we get to share the secrets of optimal health in terms of things that you can actually fill your tummy with. Tonight's guest is our symptometry health coach that comes to us out of Morganton, North Carolina. She is active in the community and outside the home. But what I love about her is that she made the transition to scientific eating, actually helped her entire family transition to eating for proper cell nourishment, while also caring for her daughter and helping her daughter make a recovery using root cause therapeutics as well. Very powerful story. We're excited to have her back on the show with us. Welcome, welcome, welcome back, Mary Kuta Loop. How are you tonight?
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. I am good, and I say hello to everyone, and hello to Dr. Abbott, and to you, Ms. Bell.
Thank you so much, Mary Kuta. We're glad to have you. So tonight, of course, we've been talking about protecting our mental health, ensuring optimal mental health, and Dr. Abbott mentioned a few items before that we could include and a few to exclude or remove from our diet. So help our listeners out with that, Mary Kuta Loop. What is one recipe that we could include in our diet if we are looking to protect our mental health? The floor is yours.
Yes. Absolutely. We heard Dr. Abbott saying the importance of the nutrients that we supply our brain. So the question is, what nutrients we supply our, you know, to the brain, to our whole system, you know, to avoid the reflective symptoms that he was talking about, the forgetfulness, the short attention span, easy, you know, to lose focus, and so on and so on, so many things. And I try to put together, you know, different recipe that will supply nutrients for the entire body, but specifically for the brain. It's so important that our brain is functioning right. And I came up with a very easy recipe and easy to make. It's called Easy Lamb Minestrone Soup. And it's everything, it's in a crock pot. Actually, I do this recipe in a crock pot. And it's when we do this cooking, we start with 1.5 pounds of lamb, two green bell pepper chopped, and must be organic. We don't want the wax on the non-organic green bell pepper. Very important. One onion chopped really small. And then we add 2 cups of tomato sauce. And then I use 32 ounces of vegetarian non-cooking broth. It's a very good, by the name, it's called Imagine, I-M-A-G-I-N-E. It's organic, very, very delicious, and it's good ingredients, and it's nothing that we cannot have. It's just vegetables that we can, that is list. And we use 32 ounces of that vegetarian non-chicken broth. It's, as I said, it's very, very, very nice. And then we need half a package of pasta, penne pasta. And we need 2 cups of 2 cups of 2 cups cooked already turnip greens or mustard greens. And we put all the ingredients in the crock pot except the greens and the pasta. So So the greens we cook separately. Either we choose a turnip greens or a mustard greens, depends. You can choose either one. Cook the greens really good and set aside. And then the pasta we add at the final hours in a crock pot. So we put all the ingredients in a crock pot, and we put on high for 3 to 4 hours, and then in the final hours we add the pasta, half of package of pasta, and then when we serve the soup, the minestrone soup, we add the greens at that moment. We warm up the greens, and then we add to the soup. At that moment, we do not put the greens into the crock pot. The greens are cooked separately. So I want just to make sure that I'm clear. And it's doing when we put all the ingredients in the crock pot, we add Cajun seasoning mixed, and this Cajun seasoning mix that I prepare all the seasoning way ahead. I have like a already done. It's a seasoning mix that I will share with the audience tonight. That it's good for any other recipe, and when you have the recipe done, you add 2 tablespoons of Cajun seasoning mix. And the Cajun seasoning mix is 2 tablespoons of onion powder, 2 tablespoons of garlic powder, 2 tablespoons of dry oregano, 2 tablespoons of dry basil, 1 tablespoon of dry thyme, 1 tablespoon fresh ground black pepper, 2 tablespoon of Martin iodized salt, 1 tablespoon of 1 teaspoon, I'm sorry, 1 teaspoon of turmeric, and 2 tablespoon granulated. 1 tablespoon of turmeric, that's something that I wrote down. That's all the ingredients that you make a Cajun seasoning mix. Mix all ingredients in a small bowl, transfer to the clean, empty spice bottle, and then you use as you desire. So for our recipe, you're going to take 2 tablespoons of Cajun spice blend, 1.5 teaspoons. The 1.5 teaspoon iodized salt, and 1/2 teaspoon of stevia. So those are the spices that you'll add into the crock pot. So this is the recipe that I have for tonight, which it's made with lamb, which is a very important lamb given it's giving a special nutrients for the brain. It's called phenylalanine. Is an essential amino acid that the liver cannot produce. It has to come from certain food, and particularly from lamb or goat. So brain use 70% of the phenylalanine that we supply to our body when we cook with lamb or with goat also. So it's a very important amino acid that our brain is using to function properly.
Well said indeed. And I like that the Cajun seasoning mix is, in fact, homemade, because as you mentioned in the recipe, you can use that seasoning mix with anything else that you want.
It
sounds delicious. I might be making that this weekend, Mary Kudalu. Thank you so much.
I'm getting hungry over here.
I mean, you put all in a crock pot and you let slowly cook even, in 2-3 hours, it just, it's done. And then you just cook the pastas. You add the pasta in the final hour, and then you cook separately the greens, and that's it. It's very simple recipe, and it's supply great nutrients to our body and to our system and to our brain, and it's just so easy. You don't have to do a whole lot. I mean, just clean the vegetables, chop it, and put everything, the meat, in the crock pot, and it's done.
Well done. And who doesn't love a good crock pot recipe? Thank you so much,
exactly.
Maricuta Loop. For joining us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a Symptometry cookbook out there. You can get it on Amazon or from your symptometrist. It's called Delicious Cooking Symptometry Style. But the recipe you just heard today was one from Maricuta's own kitchen. She is a certified symptometry health coach, been trained at the School of the American School of Symptometry. So you know that is a good recipe that you can use not only for yourself, but also for your family. Thank you again for joining us tonight, Maricuta Loop. And then Dr. Abbott, in our closing comments as we wrap up tonight's show, of course, people can reach you directly for a complimentary health consultation. Symptometry actually has 3 licensed symptometrists in the world already today, and many, many more coming through at the American School of Symptometry. Your direct line, Dr. Abbott, for people to reach you, we have as area code 336-456-9183. Again, that's 336-456-9183. Your office is located just in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. We have Dr. Elizabeth Wanganek a little bit down the road from me there in Greensboro. Her number is 336-545-1020. Again, 336-545-1020. And then we do have Dr. Maxwell Narte available. His office is actually just outside of Chicago, Illinois. His phone number is at 708-691-4977. 708-691-4977. And while Dr. Narte is the founder, I must say, Dr. Abbott, we hear wonderful things about the people who have had the chance to work with you directly. So thank you so much for all the good work that you do in the field of root cause therapeutics. And in your closing comments as we sign off, if you would just want to leave the listeners with two or three of the key points, the key benefits of using or incorporating Symptometry's root cause therapeutics in their mental health care plan, whether they've been diagnosed with a mental health illness or not. Dr. Abbott?
Yes, thank you so much, Belle Marie. And I really just want to encourage people that are listening, whether it's their friends or loved ones or they themselves are dealing with something specific such as anxiety or maybe they just may have a difficult time driving over a bridge or driving on the interstate. We here at Symptometry have proven over and over again how to resolve these issues, and a person just needs to know how to learn how to, eat scientifically and think good of themselves and put themselves in a great environment and develop and then use ionization. We use ionization in our formula for health to remove the blockages. That's important. Another thing is to put together that recipe that our licensed health coach, Maricuta Loop, gave us this evening with the lamb to help to produce the proper amino acids and brain essentials. And use the resources. Buy books on the downside of nutrition, and enroll in the American School of Symptometry, because all of these subjects about we as human beings are discussed every time we have class, and they're online as well. So We in symptometry speak of health on the seven fronts. So we have to be healthy on those seven fronts. And we address the whole person, the lifestyle and the things that they consume and the things that we're exposed to. Just know what's going on with you, and then come to your licensed symptometrist, and that will so that they can help get you on the right path to recovery and to remove genetic illnesses and blockages that many people are carrying, and they may not know why, but it was set off by some specific event or chemical that they were exposed to. So I was glad to be here tonight, and I enjoyed the topic, and look forward to our next time together.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Dr. Charlie Abbott of Symptometry of North Carolina. We appreciate what you do in the world, in the community, in increasing access to optimal health, and also at the American School of Symptometry as one of the directors there in training and supporting the next generation of therapeutic scientists. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back next week, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, live on Root Cause Radio. You can catch tonight's replay at rootcauseradio.com. And when you visit rootcauseradio.com, you will also see that you can catch us live in Atlanta, this summer, actually.